Hi, before we get into today's episode, I'd like to apologize. We had some technical difficulties, and unfortunately, part of our podcast was unrecoverable. So, to leave you with something, we will give you the part that we were able to salvage, and for next week, we will give you a little bit of bonus of what we discussed this week. Sorry about that. Thanks for listening. See you guys next week.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Coaches Challenge podcast, where we critique, debate, and argue past and current NBA news, players, and events. You're here with your boy Mike, alongside the coaches, Lamont and H, as well as Carl, going head-to-head with our topics that we feel are important to you guys as well as to us. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share this podcast, as well as rate. And check us out now on YouTube, The Coaches Challenge, as well as Facebook and Twitter, The Coaches Challenge. So sit back, relax, guys, and enjoy the podcast.
I mentioned a moment ago that neither coach had used their challenge.
As they challenge the call. Yo, Lamont heard, what's it called? Doc Rivers became
so celebrate.
Look at his skin is glowing. He's just seeing so hard.
This is a $200 bottle. I don't really pull this out that often, so you know, gotta be happy about some things.
Yeah, you should be happy. Yeah.
Oh, that's a great. And then they're saying that James Harden might go to the 76ers. This is the rumor.
I don't want him.
That's what the streets are saying.
I don't want him on the 76ers.
Yo, we was hearing D'Antoni was gonna go, right?
He'd be a way better trade.
No, is that what? Yes, he is a better player overall, but he doesn't add wins. He doesn't.
He does.
No, I'm talking about Wentz. He's not gonna be a good point guard for. Actually, hold up.
Yes, he will.
Yeah, and he will. I don't know. Lamont, you bugging out right now, Lamont.
Yo, Harden.
And no, you're right. Harden and Dwight actually did pretty well.
Harden and Clint Capella did really well.
Yeah, and now you have, what's it called?
Embiid.
A shooter.
And then they're saying Robert Covington might come back too.
I would like Covington to come back. I like Harden, but I like Harden on other teams because I don't want to be let down. Like there needs to be somebody who can check him as well.
Lamont,
that's why I felt like him and Chris Paul did really well together. I don't think they should have blow that up.
Yeah, they made a mistake. They made a mistake, but they looked at Chris Paul's age. They didn't think he had much in the tank. They picked a younger Westbrook that was a bad decision on their part. But Harden on the 76ers makes a lot of sense. The last time that Harden did really well was when he was on a defensive team with Trevor Ariza, Luke Mbah-Mute, and then that defensive specialist coach. Now you bring him to this 76ers team who has a lot of good defenders. You have Tobias Harris. You have Joel Embiid. You have Doc Rivers, who's a defensive mind. I think even their rookie from last year, Zaire or whatever his name is, he's a good defender. So Zaire Smith, I think his name is.
That's his name.
Yeah. So I think like you're putting him on the team with defenders, and you're also putting him on the team with shooters because Embiid could shoot, Tobias Harris could shoot. Who else they have? They have other shooters. I don't remember their name,
My thing is, I just don't trust him in the playoffs without somebody that he respects enough to listen to. And I don't feel like he'll give that respect to Embiid.
Harden will give it up to Embiid. Bro,
I don't see it. Everything you're saying is correct. And if he does, yes, that would be an amazing thing. I just don't see it.
Even with Westbrook, who couldn't shoot, Harden gave him the ball a bunch of times.
He came up with Westbrook.
Just look at Capella's numbers.
You have a certain talent level, Harden's going to respect you. That's why like Harden's been averaging like 10, 12 assists a bunch of times. When he's had...
This is the thing. His assists don't come from him actually making plays.
Start it. You just open it up with you guys just going straight to just talking about this.
All right, just do the quick introduction.
I was in
But we have an introduction already. I don't know.
Me too, Carl. You mean you don't like? What are our names? What are you talking about? Don't respect us.
Pretty much. I don't
that's
have
why, that's why we myself. Haven't seen. That's why we haven't seen our split of the $2 yet.
Actually, it's 3:19 as of today.
Oh, we got money.
Balling out. Look at
Mike just bought 2 Arizonas and saved the rest for himself.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, no, I haven't.
I heard he bought 2 Apple stocks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you mean I brought two pieces of
0.00000002% of an Apple stock.
Yes, welcome back, guys. You're here with your boy Mike.
Hey.
H.
Hey.
Yo.
Derek McGurk. And Carl, plenty of bucks.
Carl, plenty of bucks.
Carl's rich.
Yo, Carl got that? money.
You didn't hear Carl's at the game. You didn't see him. You didn't see him in the little thing with Obama and Powell. Yeah,
it was Shaq. It was Obama, and then it was Carl.
Yeah, it was Carl. How much you gotta pay to get there?
Yo, Carl didn't even watch the game. He don't got cable.
So wait, you was there? You was there and didn't even watch the game? Damn, that's from rich nigga.
No, I wasn't there, bro.
Yeah, that's rich nigga shit, man.
Yo, Mike. I heard
that Carl was telling Kuzma he need to get his girl back from Euro.
Damn, he's giving us a helpful relationship advice from the sidelines.
Y'all talking about different Kuzma. Y'all talking about Kuzma from the hood. I know him. That's my guy, man. He be down the block. That's the plug.
All right, so you guys just want to jump right back into what you was arguing about before we started.
Okay. So
we'll start off the topic, though.
So, yeah, let's start with the good news, and then we'll get into the little debate.
Okay, so I know Lamont's happy today, skin glowing. Oh, teeth wider than ever. And you know when you see a black man smile, you know some good news. You know some good news. Either the baby ain't his, or he just got a CD job. You know some good news. Well, Lamont, congratulations. Doc Rivers is now the head coach of the 76ers.
Good. Like I said, I would have taken Ty Lue, but if we would have gotten Mike D'Antoni,
Ty Lue would have been a bad decision.
It'd have been better than D'Antoni.
I don't know about that. Yeah, I don't know about that.
How to use bigs? What are you talking about,
bro? I don't know. I'm still taking D'Antoni. D'Antoni has way more experience. Bro, Ty Lue does not run plays. Did you watch the Cavs under Ty Lue? He does not run plays.
Neither does D'Antoni. His play is you shoot a three. You shoot a three or layup.
At least he has a 20-second or less.
You're sitting down.
He has a 20-second or less. He has an offense that he runs.
So do most virgins.
Bro, what did Ty Lue do? Ty Lue forgot that he had a critical timeout during the finals game. As a coach, that is an impermissible mistake. This guy forgot he had a timeout.
D'Antoni put a 6'6 guy.
D'Antoni never forgot about no timeout. D'Antoni put a
6'6 guy at center. What are you talking to me about? What are you talking about?
Okay, yeah, because we're in positionless basketball. How tall is Draymond Green? He plays center.
Draymond Green is taller than 6'6. Draymond Green is 6'9? That's better than 6'6. Because that's closer to 7'8.
Bro, we in average, positionless.
The average center is around 6'6.
We 6'10,
6'11.
We in positionless basketball.
You can ask the position is basketball, but you're not going to put a 6'6 guy on a 7-footer and think that shit's going to work. But anyway,
look, I just looked at Draymond Green. Draymond is 6'6".
The right
coach. Draymond Green is 6'6". I just checked his height. He's 6'6". I knew he was short.
Well, they dumb.
Get out of here.
Well, they dumb as hell as well. That's why they.
It worked. They won championships with Draymond Green playing center at 6'6". And he won Defensive Player of the Year, too.
Who was he guarding? Who was he guarding in critical moments when they had the center?
Everybody who plays center. What?
I'm pretty sure Kevin Love plays power forward.
So who was the center on the Cavs?
Pretty sure
Harold probably knows.
It was Zubac. No, it wasn't Zubac. It was
Tristan Thompson.
Oh yeah, Tristan Thompson. T-top.
There you go. But he's not a tall power forward either.
Bro, T-top's tall, bro. I feel like he's at least 7'2".
He's not.
Nah.
He's not that tall.
At best, he's 6'10".
6'10", 6'11". Yo.
Yeah, that's not my team.
Let me chime in.
What's up?
Let me chime in a little bit. I think, yo, Carl.
Well, they don't even have his height on the internet. That's how you know you're past here.
Who was the one that said
he's
6'9"? He's 6'9". So he's 3 inches from 7'2". He's like right there.
Oh, you see? That's different.
Yo, bro, when he has his high top, he's 7'2".
I was gonna say,
I would, for the Sixers, I think it's a good match. Carl said that he wouldn't like Ty Lue for the Sixers, but he likes Doc Rivers. I think, well, Ty Lue is came up under Doc Rivers, so I think Doc Rivers would be a better choice than Ty Lue. And also, Carl, you also mentioned that he didn't know he had a timeout during the finals, so that's a knock on him. But also remember all the knocks that Doc Rivers had, meaning he's been losing down, up 3-1. He's been losing series. I think he lost 3 series like that. So he's not that much of a better coach.
No. Over Ty Lue.
Look.
Whether it's Ty Lue or D'Antoni.
It's not impermissible. Like, you know, losing 3-1, it's like, it's catastrophic. But not knowing how many timeouts you have as a coach.
That's
impermissible, bro.
I agree.
That's like the least thing that you should know.
I agree. That was a blunder.
Yeah, that's a mistake that you cannot make. That's like being a lawyer and not knowing the law. Like, that's impossible. You could lose cases, but you should know the law.
Carl, to his defense, that's his first year being a head coach.
Nah, that was year two.
Okay, year two. He's still a young coach, bro.
But we're not
arguing Ty Lue over Doc. Like,
no, either, bro.
It was going to be Doc regardless. We're arguing Ty Lue over Mike D'Antoni.
I'd rather
for the Sixers have picked Ty Lue over D'Antoni.
Nah. D'Antoni has way more centers. Experience.
He doesn't work with, not with centers, no.
What experience does Ty Lue have with centers?
I would never hire D'Antoni, bro.
More so than D'Antoni. D'Antoni does not utilize the centers the right way. Look, all he wants his centers to do is run pick and rolls all day.
I don't think D'Antoni would have been a good coach for the Sixers. I agree with you. I also definitely don't think Ty Lue would have been a good coach. But I am very happy for you guys and picking Doc Rivers because I think Doc Rivers is the perfect complement for the 76ers.
Right there.
I mean, like, if you just look at it, the last time he won a ring, he was in the East. So, you know, like, he's back home where he's able to make some type of noise. Then you look at him, he's a defensive-minded coach, which is going to help some of the players on his team because a lot of them play good defense.
Think about the mental. He doesn't have to coach a guy who cheated on his daughter. Think about it.
Well, yeah, that too, and Paul George. Yeah, but also too, remembering the last time that he won a championship with a player that's similar to Ben Simmons in Rajon Rondo.
I say you're talking about Rondo.
Yeah, Rondo. In terms of a player who's pass first, who likes to pass the ball, who doesn't like to shoot, because even though playoff Rondo has developed into a shooter similar to Jason's kid trajectory over his NBA career, but Ben Simmons right now, he is that player. No, but I'm just saying similar, but not exact. Yeah. Of course, like Jason Kidd became like a way better 3-point shooter. But
Jason Kidd went from Ben Simmons to actually having an extremely decent.
I'm not comparing Ben Simmons to Jason Kidd. Comparing more so Rondo. Yeah, but what Rondo has been doing in the playoffs is impressive, especially from shooting. Like, you know, he became that player that you could leave open to now. Like, yeah, you got to guard Rondo. So hopefully, Ben Simmons has a similar type path in his career and he starts shooting that more. But now Doc Rivers as a player, similar to what he had in Rondo, then he has, He has a Kevin Garnett-ish type player in Joel Embiid, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So now all he's missing is his Paul Pierce, which would have been Jimmy Butler.
Which Tobias that would Harris. Have been his... Tobias
now, I don't know if Tobias Harris. Tobias, you see, Paul Pierce was a killer, and Jimmy Butler can be a killer in the fourth quarter if he has to, if it's necessary. But Tobias Harris, he's a scorer. He'll put points there. He'll give you the sneaky points there. But he doesn't have that like yo, I gotta make the last shot. He doesn't have it in him yet.
I think we can. I think we can squeak by if we get a Ray Allen. We get a Ray Allen. Because look, let's be honest. If we have a Ray Allen type player, we can give the final shot to Embiid, because then they have to collapse on him. And if you collapse on Embiid, that gives the Ray Allen person.
Are you talking shot. About Supersonics Ray Allen, or are you talking about Boston Celtics?
No, I'm talking about Boston Celtics. Supersonics Ray Allen is a whole nother beast. Like we just need Celtics Miami Heat Ray Allen right now.
Yeah, because that'd have been like Chris Middleton on steroids.
Yeah, we don't. I'm not. I would like that, but I'm not being greedy. Okay, I'm not being greedy right now.
No, I definitely think you know what the 76ers do need to do is get that other player.
You need to get rid of Horford's contract.
Yeah. If they could get rid of Horford and get like a player of that caliber, an offensive player, I think that'd be very helpful for them.
Can we still amnesty, or are we still under the rule from when we did it to Richardson?
I need to
if we're still under Richardson, then that sucks. But if we're not, sorry, Horford, you need to get amnestied. You need to get rid of that contract.
Oh man, I think that Doc Rivers would be good in Philly, because like Carl was comparing Philadelphia and Boston at the time when Doc Rivers had Rondo, he had a big in Kevin Garnett, who was the defensive anchor, much like how Embiid could be. And like Carl said, Rondo and Ben Simmons are similar. You don't have a Paul Pierce, which I said it could be Tobias Harris, but yeah, he doesn't have that killer mentality like Paul Pierce, and he's not a star. He's not a crazy, like, you know, he doesn't get the respect that Paul Pierce had. But let's face it, that none of that matters. What matters is, can Doc Rivers manage the egos of Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid? Can he reel them back in to believing and thinking that they can be a legit team and actually have success playing together? Because now, right now, it's up in the air. They you hear rumors that they don't even like each other. They don't even rock with each other. So it's like you need somebody to say, guys, sit down and let's play for the common goal. And Doc Rivers has that presence. Although he's had many failures, he's had a lot of success. He could pull out rings. He could pull out stories. He's been a player, a coach, successful coach. He's coached big egos, Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, Kawhi Howard. You feel me? So he knows how to do it. And that's why I think also Ty Lue is a great coach. Not to bring it back to Ty Lue, but Ty Lue, his specialty is not knowing how many timeouts you have. His specialty is managing egos. That's what he learned from Doc Rivers. And that's why he had success managing Kyrie in Cleveland, patching that up. So I think Doc Rivers.
But did he really patch that up? I mean, that ended horribly. Kyrie wanted to leave. LeBron never really wanted Ty Lue back again.
But look, if you get a ring out of it, it works. It's the same like what happened with
He got a ring.
But it's the same thing that happened with the Celtics. Remember,
Carl? He managed to hold it together enough to actually win a ring. After that, It exploded because Kyrie had to go.
And they got what they wanted.
Yeah, but he held it together long enough to actually win.
I don't know. I would have to see him do it again and replicate that. Until I see him replicate it, I can't say that that's his niche, the way that you're trying to say it, like that's his thing. He's only done it once with LeBron and Kyrie, and that was for 1 year. Mm-hmm. So who's to say that it's a fluke? I believe that the league does not believe in Ty Lue as a coach. If the league believed in him as a coach, as a, someone who ran plays, he would have been hired. Doc Rivers was fired last week, and this week he's already hired. So it's not because Ty Lue is black that he hasn't been hired. It's because no one believes in him as a coach.
I agree.
I think we mentioned this a few podcasts ago. I don't think that's also on Ty Lue. I think it's mainly because of LeBron James.
I think LeBron definitely plays a high factor into that. But then you have to look at other coaches that have coached over LeBron, who's maintained their reputation as a coach. You look at Spoelstra.
I would say
Vogel too, who's right now coaching LeBron.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Rachel Nichols on her show, she just somewhat vaguely mentioned it. It's different. Mm-hmm. It's because of the way LeBron is treating him. Because it's the same thing with what happened with David Black.
How is LeBron treating him? I'm sorry.
Because with David
Black. No, I'm just asking you to expound more. I'm not arguing with you.
LeBron knows how it is for coaches when they coach him, right? And it's the same with the players around him. Everything becomes about him. So no one thinks that the coach actually has final say about what is going on unless LeBron says it's okay. So LeBron, when they got David Blatt for Cleveland, LeBron wasn't around during that. LeBron never went to anything that David Blatt did, any of his press conferences, never showed any support towards that. LeBron technically hasn't done that to any coach that he's been with, right? But with Vogel, he's done it for Vogel. Just so the other players can know that LeBron trusts him and that he's their guy, right?
Let me cut you off.
I mean, he may respect Vogel in a way that he didn't respect Blatt, but he hasn't done that with anybody else.
The reason why this is different with LeBron and Vogel is because LeBron actually played a part in co-signing Vogel coming in and the whole coaching staff coming into the Lakers.
I agree with that difference, but you can also see how things develop on the floor. Like, you can definitely feel Vogel's presence in terms of like the plays that they run. I feel like this is the first time I've actually seen set plays from LeBron. From a team that LeBron has been on.
Miami.
You're right. In Miami. Miami, they also ran plays too. So then that goes back to my point. Spoelstra and Vogel, they look like they run plays.
Mike Brown,
I didn't see
it. It was actually Paul Silas.
No, we're not talking about him. Mike Brown actually did run plays, but eventually he realized LeBron was his best and only option. So he heavily relied on LeBron.
LeBron did whatever he wanted to.
But you see how it's different. If you name all of the coaches, you got to
run offensive schemes.
Yeah, but look, out of all the coaches who have coached LeBron, only one of them currently has a job, and that's Eric Spoelstra. And the only reason why Eric Spoelstra has that is because of Pat Riley. Pat Riley believed in him. LeBron did not believe in him.
That's the only reason why Spoelstra
is the only one that still has his job.
He proved that he was worth it.
LeBron said he couldn't coach.
Mike Brown got a second opportunity. Mike Brown got a second opportunity and it didn't work out.
He was an assistant coach.
He coached the Lakers.
Oh shit, that's right. He did coach the Lakers for a bit. But to be fair, the coaches were the Lakers are desperate that.
Yo, Carl, I agree with you. Mm-hmm. It is different with Vogel. LeBron is trusting him more. A lot has to do with his age. He's trusting him with the substitution patterns. He's trusting him in while LeBron is out, not being eager to come back into the game. LeBron is being more patient, but I think a lot has to do with
that, or is that also because he has AD as well?
that has to do with AD, but he's also older, and he had a part in bringing in, he had a say in the coaching staff that came into LA along with Jason Kidd. A lot of people were saying that Jason Kidd was LeBron's guy, Vogel was the Lakers guy. Nah, LeBron wanted Vogel and J. Kidd. They got both of them. That's it, you know? So I think that
Should we respect Ty Lue as a coach?
I think he at least needs one shake.
He needs another coaching job. He needs to coach a team like the Atlanta Hawks.
That's a great, because
he has a high profile talent in Trae Young, which is what Harold believes that he's like the high profile talent whisperer. So like he has that in Trae Young, and then he also has a young and upcoming team. And so now if you win with that kind of a team, people know that it's coaching. Just like with Atkinson and the Brooklyn Nets.
Ty Lue ain't trying to develop.
But nobody's going to give him that type of team.
You know what's the no?
What you mean? All he has to do, he got that type of team in Cleveland, and they won a championship. Although he wasn't the head coach.
He was the next man up. But that's not going to happen in any other team.
The best place for him, other than the Hawks, I feel like the Hawks is more sensible, but the best place for him is he should try to get that New Orleans coaching job.
Because he doesn't have to win.
All he has to do is make the playoffs.
Oh, he does have to win.
No, you don't. You just have to make the playoffs.
I think you have to win Zion. I think you have to
Zion.
On Zion's second year?
The only person that you mentioned that actually really came up was Brandon Ingram.
He just needs to make the playoffs.
Carl, say your point.
No, I was just saying that this is a job that if you take, people are expecting you to win. Like, this is a high-stake job. You have Zion, you have Brandon Ingram, you have Lonzo Ball, and you have Jrue Holiday. If they fire Al Gentry, they want a coach that is going to catapult them into somewhere much higher than where they are. You're not lasting just making the playoffs.
They didn't make the playoffs this year.
Al Gentry is in trouble. But if you put Ty Lue there, there's gonna be a lot of pressure.
Even with a good coach, that team is not. It's not a team that I'm expecting to win it all.
I may agree with you.
They just need to make the playoffs.
Somewhat, I may agree with you. But if you think about it, honestly, if Zion has a healthy season, that team is a respectable team.
Yes, but it's a respectable team. Exactly, a respectable playoff team.
Yo, we're going from topic to topic.
Fellas, real quick, Harold, you have anything to say before we go on to the next topic?
I mean, I think Doc Rivers in Philly is a good fit. I think the Clippers should give Ty Lue a shot.
Can I say one more thing about that too?
Go ahead.
Continuing with what Harold says, I think one of the reasons why Doc Rivers didn't do well with the Clippers, and I think that's also within the original topic that we had for today, is because he had to manage players who... Kawhi. This doesn't really include Paul George, but Kawhi came into that team with more championships than Doc Rivers, right? And so right off the pecking order, Kawhi, there's certain things that Kawhi could say or do, which Doc Rivers couldn't really
argue against or control, because Kawhi's coming with two championships and Doc Rivers coming with one championship. Kawhi's also coming with the winning percentage. Now he goes to this Philly team. This is a team that is dejected. This is a team that they might feel hopeless. They've lost to teams that they shouldn't have lost. Like Joel Embiid is quoted as saying, oh, well, don't call this a rivalry because they beat our ass every time in regards to the Boston Celtics. So this is a team that I feel has lost somewhat of their confidence. Now you bring in Doc Rivers, who has a way better winning record than they do. Not the whole Philadelphia 76ers organization, but that team specifically. And so now he's able to come to them. He's able to speak to them. He's able to gain that type of respect. And I think that will pay dividends for the 76ers. Definitely approve of the Doc Rivers selection for them.
Okay, so moving on from that real quick. Well, not real quick. So.
Unfortunately, this is the part of the podcast that was unrecoverable. So there is part of the debate that you're missing. But to end it off, the part that we were able to recover, we were trying to figure out what role Kawhi had in Doc Rivers getting fired.
Can raise a level for one
okay,
year.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
I want to see him go to that level all the time.
I agree.
Especially in the Clippers when their backs was against the wall. You didn't see no sense of urgency from him. The level that you're talking about looks good when they're winning because he doesn't have a sense of urgency. He doesn't change his game depending on the circumstances of the game. Mm-hmm. I think Kawhi plays the same way if he's down 0-3 in a series, and he plays the same way if he's up 3-0 in a series. I think Kawhi doesn't change the way he plays.
His mood doesn't change. His mood doesn't change, or maybe we're not able to read his mood, but I feel like
his game.
I feel like based off what I've been seeing, he does try to win. At least that's what he did in Toronto. I feel like he was trying to win based on what we were observing. On the Clippers, I agree with you on the Clippers that he was not doing what he did on Toronto Raptors.
He wasn't doing that in San Antonio. And the reason why I have to knock him for it is because he didn't know San Antonio,
he was playing defense.
His last season before his injury, he was playing like that until Zaza injured him.
Yeah. The way Kawhi only plays one way. He doesn't change it up. He's gonna drop his stats.
The final points. Okay.
Yeah. I mean that was the wrap up of my final point in terms of Doc Rivers and why he was forced to be fired or he was let go by the Clippers, in essence because of his track record at that time.
Okay, so guys, Oladipo just announced earlier this week that he's looking to lead the Pacers during the offseason. Where do you think Oladipo's gonna go?
The Sixers, but we don't have any money for him there, man.
Yeah.
Can I say something about this topic?
Yeah, go ahead.
I was gonna text you guys on the side before we tackle this topic. Because I also read that there's no real substance behind that rumor. That caught traction after the Celtic fans wanted Gordon Hayward out of the Celtics. So they started looking at Oladipo and it caught traction that Oladipo wants out of Indiana. And he got on Instagram Live with Fat Joe a couple of days ago. And Fat Joe asked him about it. And of course, Victor Oladipo denied it. He said he's a Pacer. Those rumors on the internet. Let me read you the quote. Those rumors on the internet, I don't know where they came from. I'm just focused on getting my knee right for next year. Of course, he's going to downplay it. Of course, he's not going to say anything. So it could still be a legit rumor, but I read that it caught traction after the Celtic fans wanted Gordon Hayward out. So, I mean, we could entertain it.
Oh, man, he's not leaving and forgetting them. I wanted him to go to the Lakers, and I thought.
Well, I mean, he could. Like I said,
he's supposed to downplay it.
Yeah, he's supposed to downplay it, so it could still we could still discuss it. I mean, I feel like Oladipo should go to a team like what was that?
Going to Lakers and he's going to LA.
I feel like, of course,
it'd be a good fit for him.
I would say everybody should go to the Lakers. Everybody that's good, but I
need them to go to the Knicks. The Lakers have enough pieces.
Oh my god!
We want him to. We want him to still have a good career.
All right.
I'm gonna hit you right here, real quick.
The Lakers have enough pieces.
The reason why he's not going to Miami Heat because the Miami has to give up the young pieces, which they're not gonna give. They're not gonna give up Tyler Hero or any of the young pieces to get Oladipo. It makes sense to go to the Lakers because they get Danny Green's a rented piece, J.R. Smith's a rented piece, Deion Waiters a rented piece. Mm-hmm. Even Kuzma might be eligible. I think he gets off his rookie contract. Yeah. And Kuzma's a no offense to Kuzma if he's listening. Shout out to you, Kuzma, but you ain't doing your thing right now. I don't know if you guys are watching this game.
That's not his fault. It's because of where the team is. But that's the reason why I think he's gonna go. It's because as good as I think Kuzma is, he just doesn't fit with the Lakers right now. So he has to go.
Yo, Kuzma. I forgot to say, but shout out to Kuzma, man. He made two great passes last night. Really pointed out to my brother.
He had to show out. He had to show out to let his
he passed up.
Know she went to the wrong guy.
He passed up on threes. Drove in and kicked it out to an open
because he's gonna miss those threes. It's gonna be turnover.
Well, no, but that shows maturity.
I get what you're saying, but I mean, he doesn't fit the team. It's time for him to go. Oladipo's a two-way player. It'd be great to have an Oladipo winner ring for LeBron James, and he'd be the next generation. Yeah, I mean, this is no
listen,
like,
I ain't mad at that.
This is no real truth behind that. I guess we can move on to Malik Beasley, Carl's favorite point guard player. Facing felony charges for weapons and drug facing felony weapons and drug charges. This Carl's an expert lawyer.
Hold on. All right.
Since Carl's the expert, the coaches challenge official lawyer.
I heard that he's defending him.
Carl can give
it. Yeah. Let's not carry on that rumor. I'm by no means defending Malik Beasley. I'm denying all representations.
I could have sworn he had you on retainer.
Nope, definitely not. That you see, that's how you get people in trouble.
So, Carl, you're the expert. You're the expert here. Is Malik Beasley in serious trouble?
Honestly, I haven't really read on his situation. I'm looking at TMZ right now. It says he got arrested for narcotics possession and stolen gun. I mean, like,
set up a perimeter around his property, bro.
Crazy. Question: when you have, I'm not gonna count this man's wallet all the way, but like, with the amount of money that he should have, realistically, why are you buying a stolen gun?
Because you can take the hood out of the people, but you can't take the people out of the hood. Yeah. You can't take the hood out of the people.
I have enough money to buy a real gun. I know it's still a real gun, but you know what I mean. A legal gun. It's
the cooler than
like the excitement of a stolen gun.
Oh my God. I got too much money to be paying Carl.
Look, all right. So hold on. So he was arrested for being possession of a concealed stolen gun, whatever, right? Oh, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it was his. Okay, so I would need like more facts. Like maybe he was in a car. Like where was he arrested? Like, you know, maybe sometimes like people ask people to take charges for them. You never know. Like if he has like a better record and somebody else was in the car, like, you know, that might have been his boy. Who knows?
This man,
unless it is my son or daughter who is like 18, about to go to college, I am not taking anyone's charges.
Wow, so you're not taking the gun charge from me, bro?
Are you my son?
The coaches challenge.
I'm reading more on this, and it's getting like worse and worse. So apparently, Beasley approached a vehicle that had stopped in front of his house. Saturday and allegedly pointed a gun at them while telling them to scram.
Look, wait, what state was he in when this happened?
It says Plymouth.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know the rules there, but a lot of states you can do that if it's your property. But that being said, he should have had a legal gun.
Yo, if you got a stolen anything on you, bro,
why you
wanna
going?
Lay low.
Why are you waving that shit around?
You want to lay low, bro. I remember.
I remember being
9 years old stealing a candy from the candy store, bro.
He's kind of dumb.
And I put it under my sweater, and I didn't take my hand out of my sweater
allegedly
until I got to my house.
Allegedly,
you feel me? Allegedly.
Yeah.
That story's not even true. I haven't stolen never in my life.
Real quick, just a sidebar. I just want to say F Yahoo. Philip Lindsay was questionable, and they still have him questionable. He's inactive in today's game, and I can't put him in my IR slot. And Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers, and I think the Titans are not playing this Sunday because a couple players contracted COVID. So
this is a basketball pod.
We're doing football all of a sudden.
I just wanted to express my frustrations right now. But yeah,
I heard Migs is coming out with the NFL coaching challenge.
Okay. Well, while Carl's doing a meeting to give us that, what are you guys' thoughts on LaMelo Ball? Withdrawal combine.
I don't really see it as news. He's not the only player who's done it in history. I feel like he's probably already worked out for the team that he wants to be on or the team that he's auditioning for. So he feels like there's no point of him doing it anymore. He's that confident. So his workouts probably went really well with the teams that he did do it for. And he's that confident that he's going to get on at least one of those teams. And there's no point in giving the rest of the teams information about him. So I understand it.
Well, I know LaMelo Ball has had an interview with the Knicks. So hopefully, you know, that's the team that he's trying to land
There's
on.
There's no way he's going that low.
Yeah, he's definitely not going that low. But there are rumors that the Knicks may try to do something in terms of trying to acquire a higher pick. Apparently, the Warriors want Frank Ntilikina, so, you know.
You are lying. There's no way.
There was a rumor. There was a rumor that they would be interested in Frank Ntilikina, the eighth pick. And the two Dallas Maverick picks that the Knicks obtained from trading Porzingis. So I think like with that package that they might consider just giving up the second pick.
I really want the Greek Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Like I said, the only way they're doing that is if they definitely get Giannis. That's the only reason why they would do that.
I mean, you don't know what their plans are, so you know.
Yo, I think LaMelo.
Never know. I could be an optimist.
I think LaVar Ball has been after Lonzo. LaVar Ball has tried unconventional ways to get his sons into the NBA. He tried with LiAngelo, the middle kid. He tried. You know, we all knew that Lonzo was nice. He proved it in UCLA. Then we also saw that LaMelo Ball was nice because he was the youngest, but the middle one, we saw that he was kind of undersized. We didn't know what position he was.
He couldn't shoot.
He was supposed to be a shooter. And, you know, he just couldn't shoot. He can't get his own shot. Why would you want a spot up shooter?
He couldn't even make his shots open.
Yeah,
you know how you see these videos when you have centers like Dwight Howard making a bunch of threes in a row, Shaq or whatever making a bunch of threes in a row wide open. He couldn't make any shots. Like they gave him, he had a bunch of like training interviews or whatever, and they asked him to shoot, and he was missing everything.
Yeah, so I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised that that LeVar Ball chose to drop out of the combine. I mean, he's shown enough already. He took his kid overseas. You know, he didn't have him go to college here, so he had him go overseas and play professionally out there. And I haven't seen what he did out there, but I guarantee you, they're much tougher overseas because the fouls are crazier. The players have more leeway to foul you, and they give you harder fouls. So that definitely toughen LaMelo Ball. But going back to the unconventional way of getting into the NBA, this falls right in line, because why would you wanna still be in the combine? You already shown what you can do. Teams already know what you can do. You did it overseas, and that's it. Everybody knows who you are. You don't need to do anything else but get drafted. You know, even though he's a risky pick, he still got the media behind him. He got the name Ball, and he got skills. He got potential, a lot of potential to be a great point guard because of Lonzo Ball. Knowing how good Lonzo Ball is of a passer, you assume his little brother picked up more or might be better than Lonzo Ball. So, you know, him dropping out of the combine, it's a big deal, but it just shows you that players got power, man. Players got power. And I'm glad players are finding different ways to make it to the NBA, you know? Just like Darius Bazley and other kids that are choosing different routes to get to the NBA who are nice, you know? So that's my take on it. It's not such a big deal. LaMelo, he's going to be in the NBA. I hope he goes to the Knicks, too. So y'all won't have no excuse to say y'all trapped.
He'll still be trapped. as long as
we have Dolan, we'll have excuses.
Word. I was going to bring up the Kyrie comment that he made on KD.
Bring it up.
But Kyrie just made a comment just now stating that.
What did Kyrie say?
I'll read. Let me see if I can find it. See what he spoke on it.
Nah, Kyrie, right, you should have kept that energy.
For shits and giggles. I agree. I, of course, we know why. I would hope to think we all know why Kyrie would say that, because LeBron, and I don't think that's a knock on LeBron. Yeah. You can take it. You can take it as a knock, but it's not a knock on LeBron, because LeBron does so many other things. He's not, you can't label him just a shot maker. You can't label him just a passer. You can't label him, you know, so I see why Kyrie said that about KD. They have more similar games. You know, they're sharpshooters. They're snipers. You know, even though some people might not call Kyrie a sniper, I call him a sniper. I've seen that boy be a sniper, bro, in the finals. So to me, he's a sniper just like KD. So I see why he said it and why he wouldn't say that about LeBron, but I don't. LeBron is in a different conversation, man.
I think it was more about creating a open jump shot off the dribble. LeBron has two moves to get open out of the dribble, and one of them is not a. I don't know why it works, but it works for him. Like LeBron can still.
LeBron got a step back.
That's the second one. That's the one that I think is a good one. The other
LeBron
one
got a fadeaway.
Let me just say what Kyrie said first, and then I'll say what. So on KD's podcast, Kyrie says it feels good to know that he has someone on his team that can take the same kind of clutch shot that he would take. And then there's controversy behind it because people say he was taking a stab at LeBron James. And Kyrie just made a statement now saying,
why must it always be a brother against a brother? Why? I'll say their name. And that's what Kyrie said.
Yo, that's how he sounds too, bro. Check it out. I just thought about that maybe Kyrie being the Mamba mentality that he is, right? I don't think he meant anything with LeBron. I think he meant now he has, because look, I look at it like this. LeBron was okay with Kyrie taking the last shot in the NBA Finals for his legacy, right? That's big. LeBron backed off. You take it, Kyrie. I don't think KD is that type of player. So him in the Nets, Kyrie and KD in the Nets, you know, they're going to have to decide and live or die. They're going to have to decide and live or die with who takes the last shot and be okay with that. I don't think Kyrie will be okay with Kevin Durant taking the last shot in the NBA Finals. I think Kyrie wants that moment.
I don't think
and that might be an issue going down the line.
I don't think it'll be an issue.
I agree with that, but I don't think that's the...
That might be an issue going down the line.
I don't think it'll be an issue. Here's why I don't think it'll be an issue. I think KD is okay with backing up. And the reason why I say that KD is okay with backing up, and the Golden State, even on the Golden State Warriors, KD was not trying to win finals MVP. Like, he was like, okay, he got one. He was really trying to let Curry win it, but he just outshined him. Like, he couldn't help it. He couldn't help but win finals MVP. And when he was in OKC, like, look at that dynamic between him and Westbrook. Like, honestly, like, he couldn't get Westbrook to give him the ball. He couldn't command that because Westbrook wanted the ball more. And because
he ain't gonna get it from Kyrie.
Huh? Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, if you have, like, a really strong personality like Kyrie does, I think, like, KD just falls back and lets you do your thing. Now, he'll take over if you're not succeeding. If you're not dropping your shots, he's going to make his shots. But I think KD will definitely defer to Kyrie, in my opinion.
Agreed. I think it was more for the fact that throughout all of Kyrie's career, he's been that one person who has to take these crazy shots. And even though he makes them, it's still really predictable. And he probably thought that would change with LeBron, but it didn't, because the type of player LeBron is, LeBron leans more towards...
It did change with LeBron.
Only a little bit. LeBron still leans more towards point guard than like a shooting guard, right?
But it changed the fact that they won a championship. So
that's not what I'm talking about. Just let me finish what I'm saying. All right. Every time in terms of when they need a last shot, it's always going to Kyrie. Kyrie thought that would change to LeBron, as in LeBron would take more of those final shots, but it didn't. It still came with LeBron making a play for him to take those shots. Kyrie, in my opinion, Kyrie is saying right now, it could be either or. So it's not that easy for the defense to come over to him knowing that he's going to take the last shot, when he has also Kevin Durant.
But Lamont, Kyrie taking the last shot worked.
You're taking it, what I'm saying, out of context. I'm saying it's making his job easier, so the defense won't automatically know we need to go to Kyrie.
I understand what you're saying. Pick your poison now. But when he was with LeBron, it was also pick your poison, except LeBron was the one picking the poison.
But that's what I'm saying.
You get what I'm saying?
No, what I'm saying is they still knew, and he knew, it was still going to Kyrie 99.9% of the time. Right now, it's still pick your poison, but if Kyrie throws the ball away, the shot's being taken right then and there. It's not going to wait for another setup till LeBron can get to his spot.
Harold, I think your issue is, I think, like, you think we're comparing or trying to say, like, what was effective on the Cleveland Cavaliers or what wasn't effective on the Cleveland Cavaliers. We're trying to dissect Kyrie's point of view, right? And from his point of view, when he was on the Cleveland Cavaliers, he knew, or he felt, that he was the person that was going to take the shot. And now that he's on Brooklyn Nets, he feels that there are at least two people on that team that will take the shot. That's what his statement is from his point of view.
No, yeah, I agree. And it's on the defense, but I'm not, you know, it'll make his job easier and it also have the defense guessing, right? That's what you mean.
Yeah, that's
now
what
you have
that's
another
think,
option.
That's why I don't think it was actually a shot to LeBron. It was just him saying that his job is going to be a lot easier now that he has KD as well.
I'm not saying you're saying that it's a shot to LeBron. I'm saying that you're saying
I think it's Kyrie, a shot to LeBron.
Now that Kyrie, I think that you're saying that Kyrie is saying that now they're gonna win more. They're gonna be more successful as a team because now all of a sudden you got two snipers and pick your poison. I'm saying
maybe that's how Kyrie feels.
Kyrie, you've had the most success being that only scorer on a team where we know the ball is going to you in the last second. Mm-hmm. You've been the most successful in that role.
That's not now, true. He's only been successful with LeBron at that. You're forgetting he had a whole career before LeBron got there, and it was
so we haven't seen we didn't see him do anything in Boston.
You feel me? We didn't see him.
I'm forgetting all the podcasts I've talked about Kyrie. People think I hate Kyrie.
No, I'm not saying you're a Kyrie. Yeah, I know you hate Kyrie.
I'm just saying,
all right, let me leave it like this. If I understood what you were saying, if Kyrie thinks now picking Poison, you got another player that can do what you do, can take the same shots, is going to make it easier and have team success.
Yes.
I think Kyrie, this is another flat earth thought of his. I think Kyrie is oblivious to what's going on. And I think nothing's going to change because he's had success with a LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
Get a LeBron type player.
He doesn't.
Work. So you can play your role to the fullest. Kyrie was playing his role to the fullest in Cleveland. When he got to Boston, he had to switch up his role and expand his role. And that was what got to Kyrie. That's when we found out he was crazy. Because that role, now we got to see multiple sides of Kyrie. Now we got to look at Kyrie as a leader. And us looking at him and judging him as a leader, we saw that he was more like a leader like Kanye West as opposed to a leader like LeBron.
People forget he was a leader of Cleveland before LeBron got there. That's why I don't understand why people were like...
And Cleveland wasn't doing anything.
Exactly. What I'm saying... Look, my whole thing is, yes, what you're saying is absolutely correct. But this is all about how Kyrie sees... But no, if you were listening, I wasn't disagreeing with you. What I was saying is this is how Kyrie feels. And he's okay to feel that way. Like, we already know... Well... I feel like most people know. There are some people who are still delusional about it. Kyrie is not a leader. And yes, he had his most success with LeBron James, and even he recognizes that. But the only thing that I've like really praised him for in terms of that decision was he felt he needed to get out of being under LeBron's shadow, which I was totally down for. But after, what, the 3 seasons, I'm hoping that he's realized right now the type of player that he is. And that's why what he's saying in these comments, even though it is, some people could take it as him taking a slight to LeBron. I don't think it is, but I think it's him more so.
That's exactly what it is.
No.
That's exactly what it is.
The only reason why I'm saying it's not is because I'm feeling like I'm hoping because, again, I'm hoping that he's matured a little bit. That he's realized some of the stuff that he's messed up in. And
yeah, I think you're delusional.
I'm delusional. You think that he grew up a little bit?
Yes. Kyrie is insane in the membrane. And this Kyrie, he was definitely throwing shots at LeBron James when he was saying, "I finally have a shooter." What does that mean? This is something different from the past. What was the past? LeBron James. And when he left Cleveland, he definitely made us believe that it was LeBron's fault why he had to leave. I feel like he constantly throws jabs at LeBron James. I feel like he wanted the bubble to be shut down because he had an inkling that LeBron James might win. And so I feel like Kyrie has this. He has it against LeBron. He is upset right now. He is fuming that LeBron is about to win another chip without him. And so Kyrie is throwing shade at him. He's from the Kobe school of thought. Kobe, in his heart of hearts, probably wouldn't want LeBron to win either because that's the Mamba mentality. It's different from the LeBron way of playing basketball. And so I think...
Kobe wants him to win if that was the case.
No, he wants the Lakers to win.
I know what Kobe
wants. If that was the case, LeBron would have had an Achilles injury.
That was a slight joke.
Yeah,
but at the same time, I definitely what I'm not joking about is that I definitely feel like there is some type of competition between him and LeBron. And whatever apology that he made today, I feel like it's superficial. And I think going forward, He definitely wants to take it at LeBron. If they go against each other in a Western Conference, Eastern Conference Finals, a Finals game, you're going to see Kyrie give everything to LeBron. I think there's a lot of animosity there. I think he can't avoid talking about LeBron.
in my opinion. Just like KD can't avoid talking about the Knicks and Harold can't avoid talking about the Cavs, Kyrie cannot avoid talking about LeBron, and he doesn't like LeBron. This is all shade.
I like that take.
But I'm hoping that he just grew up a little bit and realized that he actually can't, he's not the person that you can that can lead a franchise by himself. I'm hoping that Kyrie grew up a little bit. That's all.
Kyrie got another thing coming, man. Kyrie and
only
and
time will tell. Time will tell.
KD is no better. KD has a lot to prove too, because KD has to learn how to lead also. You know, KD didn't really lead that Golden State Warriors team. He was like a Kawhi when he went to Toronto. He just went to fit in. He didn't really lead in that place. Yeah, so now both of them are going to get a chance to co-lead. And you heard what he said about the coaching. He said something about we're all coaches. You know, Steve Nash is a coach. I'm a coach. KD is a coach.
He did not mature, Lamont.
Yo, yeah, he didn't.
He's the leader.
He's still crazy. He didn't.
He's already stirring the pot.
They were saying, remember Stephen A was saying there were issues in the locker room last year that were stemming from Kyrie's personality. So I believe like there's much truth to that. I think he's very divisive and we're gonna see more and more of that. We're gonna see him unravel.
We still got time, Kyrie. I believe you got a few more months to grow up. I believe in you.
I believe Kyrie is a role player. He should be franchises should treat him like a role player. Get him a leader. Get him a Chris Paul. Get him a LeBron James. Get him somebody that can lead on the floor.
You don't have him for long then. You don't have him for long.
Yeah,
then.
You're not going to have him for long because Kyrie, he's butting heads with people who are like that. He doesn't want to be led over. Like he wants to be the number one. He wants to win that way.
He wants to prove to us, to the naysayers.
I don't think he wants to prove to us. I think that's just how he wants it. I don't know if he cares how we feel about it, but that's how he wants it.
Kyrie's gonna do that.
I feel like Kyrie might be, but I'm still holding out some hope. Kyrie might be from the toxic school of Kobe. Who only saw like the aggressive part of Kobe and not like the mental stuff that Kobe did and the things that Kobe did to appreciate his teammates that were actually worth the damn. Like
Kobe spoke to Jordan. Kobe spoke to Jordan. Kobe had Jordan, and Jordan would talk to him in his ear and tell him, hey, like, you know, you gotta rely on your teammates. Yeah. You gotta do this, you gotta do that. And that's why, you know, Kobe was on the documentary saying that, hey, whatever chips that I have, like, I have to give it up to Michael Jordan because of the advice that he used to give me. I don't know if who does Kyrie go to give him advice?
He should be going to LeBron. I'm sorry. Like, he should be going to LeBron.
He doesn't like LeBron.
That's what Kyrie hates right there. That's what Kyrie hates.
He doesn't like LeBron.
He doesn't want to be associated with LeBron.
Bro. Yeah, and he doesn't have a relationship with Jordan. He had one with Kobe, and, you know, Kobe's not here anymore, unfortunately.
But all the time he had with Kobe, he's obviously asking the wrong questions. Like, I'm sorry.
No, but I think at this point in time, I think, like, what Kobe was helping Kyrie with when Kobe was around was how to be a better player, how to be dominant, how to score, how to be competitive. But I think if Kobe had seen Kyrie at this point, at this state, and he had some time to spend with him, I think he would have tried to influence him in a different kind of way. Similar to Jordan. Like, you know, when Jordan saw that Kobe was just doing too much, he had that conversation where he steered him away from that.
Yeah, that's what I said. This is the toxic version of the Mamba mentality. This isn't the mature version that Kobe eventually developed. Like
Carl, you said Jordan. Kobe used to have Jordan on the phone, and Jordan used to tell him you should trust your teammates. That's funny.
Yeah, I mean, hey, That's facts.
I think he said it for the teammates that are worth. You can't Harold, you can't sit here and act like Jordan doesn't love the teammates that were worth a damn.
Yeah,
Jordan passed the ball.
Jordan believed in his teammates.
The teammates that were worth a damn.
Jordan believed in his teammates.
I could understand.
Jordan spent lots of times with his teammates.
I could understand if you were saying Kobe and Jordan were on the phone and Jordan would tell him how Phil Jackson would tell him to pass the ball.
Jordan,
you act like Jordan doesn't love his teammates out worth the damn. He hated the team.
It took him 30 years. It took him 30 years to say Scottie Pippen's name, bro.
No.
No, he always said it. He always said Scottie Pippen's name.
And with that being said, thank you for listening to the Coach's Challenge, guys. And we'll check you out next week.
They will check us out.
They'll check us out. Sorry, I forgot. When you guys get into certain arguments, this is when I have to chime in. This is when I have to throw the red flag.
The red flag?
Is it a yellow flag or a red flag?
Yellow flag.
I thought it was
yellow flag. Okay, sorry.